We here at Valorous Church believe that God wants to do incredible things in our life, come on, and he wants to work incredible things through our life. And we believe that we are planted in the house of the Lord and planted in the community that God has placed us in order to make a difference for his kingdom. And we want to be a part of what God's doing in the world, but we have to apply ourselves to God's ways and what God is doing. And so today what I want to do is I want to continue the thought of talking right before Jesus went to the cross. We're looking at some of the scenes in his life before he went to the cross and what he taught during those particular moments, because they are very, very significant in what God wants to do in people's life. And so Jesus, he taught a lot of parables, but here in the last week or so of his life, he actually engaged in parables that use physical items. In other words, he would use a physical item to teach something very valuable to you and me. And we're gonna look at one of those passages today found in Mark chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open it up, and we'll begin there in Mark chapter 11 with verse 12 here in just a minute. But you know, what I've discovered is sometimes as people begin a journey of trusting Christ, what happens is they go on that journey, sometimes that journey becomes redundant, or it doesn't really continue to have significance in their life, and they don't continue to grow and produce things with their life. And the whole goal of God coming into the earth and saving humanity from their sin was not simply so we could kind of go through this life and go to heaven one day, but it was so that we could produce with the life that he so desires for us to produce with. See, God created you for purpose. God created you for significance. God created you and me to permeate his presence together throughout this earth. In other words, we're to be in relationship with one another, and we're to basically have him living in us, which the power of the cross allows the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in those who are believers. But God's desire for the Holy Spirit in our life is to teach us or to comfort us, to help us produce with our life. In other words, God wants you to produce something with your life. He don't want you just to show up. He wants you to be actively producing. And so what Jesus does in this story is he begins to teach what it means to have a life that produces. So the story begins in Mark chapter 11, verse 12, and it says this. It says, the next morning that Jesus and his disciples woke up and they were leaving Bethany, the Bible says Jesus was hungry. In other words, he had an appetite. He wanted something to eat. And so he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. And then Jesus, standing there at the fig tree, he says something very odd. He said to the tree, Jesus begins to talk to the tree, but understand he was talking to the tree, but he was being overheard by his disciples. He talks to the tree and he says, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." The Bible says, and the disciples, those following him, they heard him. And it goes on to say that they go into Jerusalem. Jesus causes an uproar in the Jewish temple because they weren't leveraging God's temple to bring all nations in like God desired for them to do it. That they were basically in the temple whenever the nations of the world would come into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, they were selling Passover sacrifices for an enormous amount of money and taking advantage of people that couldn't bring certain things or certain animals into this land because they had traveled so far, and these people were taking advantage of them. And so Jesus causes an uproar in the temple, and he's like, you know what? My father's house isn't being used for what I desire for it to be used for. And Jesus begins to flip over tables. You can go read the whole story. And then the next day, or that evening, they leave Jerusalem, and we pick up the story again in Mark chapter 11, verse 19, and it says it this way. That evening, Jesus and his disciples, after all this uproar began, they left the city. They go back out about 2 miles where they were before. And the next morning, as they pass by the fig tree that he had cursed the day before, let's say 24 hours before, the Bible says that the disciples noticed it had withered up from its roots. Remember, Jesus talked to the tree. The disciples overheard him talk to the tree. Now they come back by the tree 24 hours, and Jesus didn't spray it with Roundup, but Jesus, you know, he talked to the tree, and all of a sudden they notice it's withering up. And Peter remembered, Peter, one of the disciples, he remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day, and he exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, this is amazing. Look, Rabbi, teach us how to do that kind of stuff right there. Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered up and died." Now, again, what is Jesus doing in this particular story? Jesus is teaching a lesson. He's not just cursing a fig tree. He's not just stopping a tree from growing anymore. What he's doing is he's teaching those who are hearing him talk to this tree, he's teaching them a lesson about the life that he come to give. In other words, what Jesus is saying in this passage of scripture, because whenever you begin to look at this at first glance, it looks like Jesus is ignoring Peter's discussion about this tree when he exclaimed, "Look, it's withered up." It looks like Jesus is kind of ignoring what Peter says as we continue to read a little further on down in the passage. But what Jesus is doing, he's teaching that in reality, I've come to plant, let's call it a new kind of tree, a tree that will produce. I'm not just looking for a tree that outwardly looks like it is something with leaves on it. I'm looking for a tree. I'm not looking for what I found in the temple yesterday, people just looking the part. Come on, somebody. But I'm looking for a people, or I'm going to produce a people that will produce kingdom fruit out of their life for my sake. In other words, Jesus is teaching a lesson. He's teaching that, hey, you know what? What we have come to is in life at this place is a dead religion. And what I've come to give is a life-giving relationship. Come on. Jesus is teaching. I'm not just looking for something that puts on leaves and looks beautiful on the outside. I'm looking for something that'll be transformed on the inside, and it'll grow up and it'll produce great things out of its life. What I'm looking for is this new kind of tree that I've come into the earth to plant that is going to recognize who I am, what I came to do, and grow up and live the kind of life that I desire for it to live. See, Jesus is teaching that I come to plant a new kind of tree. So let's begin to look at what this tree looks like, because as Peter looks at the tree, he says it's withered up. Lord, look at this. This is amazing. Then Jesus said to the disciples, he says it this way in verse 22. He says, have faith in God. Now again, at first glance, it looks like he's just ignoring what Peter just acknowledged about a withered up dead tree. But what God's saying is, look, if you'll learn how to weather the storms of life, you won't wither up like that tree. If you'll learn to have me in your life, the relationship I've come to give, then you won't wither up like that tree. I'm not looking for a form of godliness. I'm looking for a transformed life that has godliness flowing in it and flowing out of it. I'm not looking for someone who just plays the part. I'm looking for a group of people that produces kingdom fruit out of their life. He says, you need to have faith in God. He says, I tell you the truth. You can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. He says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. He goes on to say in verse 25, but when you are praying, first forgive. When you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So what Jesus is teaching here in this whole passage of scripture, as he curses a fig tree that didn't give him any fruit, that only had leaves on it, he goes into Jerusalem, he sees the temple not producing what it needed to be producing. He flips over tables, he leaves from the town, he comes back out. Peter says, look, hey, the fig tree is withered up. You cursed it yesterday. And Jesus says, that's right. But guess what? I come to plant a new kind of tree, a tree that will produce fruit and be what I desire it to be. So let's talk about how to be a church, a people that produces the kind of fruit that God desires for us to produce. Because it's not just religious activity. It's having a relationship with God, and a righteous God steps into your life and the righteousness of God begins to flow out of your life. In other words, it's not being righteous for God, it's being righteous because the righteous one has connected you to the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. Now remember, this is before Jesus goes to the cross. And what Jesus is doing is he's teaching them that I come to give a new kind of life that so many people haven't found, even though, you know what, they're a part of the Israelite community, this particular community. They still haven't found the life that I come to give. And what I came to give is a kind of life that is connected to your Creator. See, the reason Jesus came was to forgive humanity of our sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard, missing the bullseye of who God created us to be and what he created us for. So Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. But understand, he didn't only want to forgive us of our sin, he wants to deposit his spirit in us, come on, and then show us how to hit the target of his glorious standard. Because he wouldn't be a good God if he only showed you had missed the target of his glorious standard. But by the power of his spirit, he'll begin to show you how to have purpose and hit the target of his glorious standard. And by the way, it's not a bunch of rules. Hitting the target of God's glorious standard for humanity is being who God created us to be. Come on. And it's realizing that we have purpose in this earth. That we have purpose in this earth, and we're to be connected to the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. We have a connection to God. We have a flow from him, our heavenly Father, come on. And we live in this world producing fruit, permeating his presence, multiplying his goodness throughout this earth. It's why God created the first man and the first woman and placed them in the garden, was so that they would be a reflection of him in the earth. My friends, your God who created you is looking for an intimate relationship where he can begin to speak to you through the Holy Spirit to your heart so he can guide and direct your life to go in the direction that he desires for your life to go in. And as you are going in that direction, there will be calamity and there will be trouble. But my friend, you will not wither up and waste away if you believe in Jesus and you begin to press through these troubles and the calamity, because he created you to permeate his presence no matter how bad it gets or how good it gets. He created you to be a fruit-bearing person. Come on. For his glory. But see, we're driven by the outward circumstances of life. Oftentimes we put our faith in what we see that is happening. And instead of living life to the full, like Jesus said we could live life, we begin to trust the circumstance more than trusting the word of our Creator. And my friends, he says that, you know what? I didn't come so you may wither away or waste away. I came to give you eternal life. I didn't come so you perish. I came so you'll live. And so Jesus is talking in this passage of scripture about how to live and be this new kind of tree, this new kind of person, this new kind of family, let's call it. Because Israel was a family that had God's blessing on it, a nation that had God's blessing on it, but it had forgotten the Almighty, and it wasn't putting its faith in the Almighty. It was putting its faith in its own ways and keeping of the law and keeping of the standards, and it had lost sight of the Almighty. And so God says, what I'm doing is this old religion, this old way is dead. I'm coming to sprout up something new. I'm coming to give new life. And how you have this new life, Peter, is simply this. And it's found there in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. He says, here's what you need to do. Stop having faith like those people did in your self-righteousness, but you need to have faith in God. See, that's powerful. Because so many people say they believe God saves them from their sin, but then they have faith in themselves to overcome their sin. And the truth of the matter is, you gotta have faith in God. And keep faith in God and keep on trusting God all the steps of the way. But what happens is sometimes we begin to wither up because we'll put our faith in God to forgive us of our sin, but we don't continually let that faith grow and begin to do amazing things for the kingdom by the power of the Almighty in our life. And understand, you know what? God wants you to have faith in him so you can produce. So you can produce what? So you can produce kingdom fruit. So the question is, what is kingdom fruit? Kingdom fruit is whenever God gets in us and we take us and we partner with other us's. It's called the local church. God comes in your life. God comes in my life. God comes in our life. Come on. And together, as God gives us a spiritual gift in our heart and our life, we put those gifts together, we become what they call a body. And the body is to express who God is. Not just me, not just you, but us are to express who God is to the world around us. And then more people begin to put their faith in the Almighty because they begin to see us trusting God. Come on. And so, yeah, that's what it means to produce produce fruit. It means to grow God's family here on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm talking about numerically. I'm not just talking about you becoming a big old fat fig. See, because that's what some people think spiritual growth is. And spiritual growth is you getting to know your Creator more and more and more, deeper and deeper and deeper. So that, everybody say, so that. So that together we can feed the world the goodness of God. And my friends, it's not about me becoming some big, juicy fig on a tree. It's about me and you becoming all God's created us to be, working together, sharpening each other up, challenging one another, causing each other to step into to the fullness of God, having faith in God. God is the gardener, John 15 says. Jesus is the vine, the one that connects us to the gardener, the Father who plants the vine, who tends the vine. But Jesus is the connector. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is what begins to grow the fruit. See, the Holy Spirit, He's the one. He's the third person in the Trinity that begins to grow your faith. But you and I have to, we have to partner with God and begin to be attentive to the Spirit of the living God teaching us, growing us, and comforting us. I wonder how many of us aren't growing in the Lord because we're not attentive to the Holy Spirit. We're not seeing the opportunities before us. We're not seeing the lostness of the world around us. Because my Bible says that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And Jesus said right here in this passage of scripture that I am a mountain moving God. If you will have faith in me and begin to trust me for kingdom purpose, come on. I'm a mountain moving God. Other words, you may think that mountain of addiction has your child. But understand, we can come together by faith and believe that our great God, not us, our great God through us can move that mountain of addiction. Come on. You may begin to think, you know what? There's this major mountain that's going on in all my relationships and all of these things in my life. But the Bible says God can move mountains. He can move mountains if we'll have the faith to believe him. But it's mountains that he's moving for his name's sake. It's mountains that he is moving not just to fix a problem in the world. It's mountains that he is moving so he can move the heavens. Come on. And the powers and the principalities can see him at work through his people, the body of Christ. Have faith that God can do it. Have faith that God can do it. Do you really believe that God is a mountain moving God? Because here, what it says is, Jesus says, here, Peter, look, that tree, that old religion, it's drying up. But here's how you're gonna be this new tree. It's gonna be a people who have faith in me. Have faith in me. See, if we're gonna produce fruit as a family, as a church, and grow God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, it starts with faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's believing that God will fulfill his promises in spite of what I see. Faith is believing that God is an overcomer in spite of the circumstances that is happening right now in my own personal life. Faith is believing that God will do what he says he's gonna do. And in spite of all the racket and craziness that's going on in the world, he is going to return as a ruling and reigning king, and trust in that by faith every step of the way. He might not fix my problem, but he is a God who can move mountains for the kingdom's sake. And yes, God cares for every one of our needs. But understand, God is moving mountains for the sake of the kingdom, so his name can permeate all the peoples of the earth. God will be worshiped from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. He's a God that's numbered the hairs on your head, but my friend, he has a purpose for your life. And you have to be, by faith, walking towards the accordance of that purpose. In other words, it's not walking out your own purpose in your own fantasies. It's walking to by faith and according to what God has called us to do as human beings. But we get stuck on what we see instead of what God has said. You want to see the new kind of tree begin to produce amazing fruit? God, Jesus says, have faith in God. Matter of fact, Jesus says, the reason I have come and shined among you in human form is so you can have faith that God can overcome your sin, overcome death, overcome the grave. Because what happens a little bit later is Jesus goes through a horrific death on a cross. It's cruel, it's painful, it's bloody, it's ugly. It's messy, it's all of those things, it's tear-filled, it's broken, it's insane. Jesus goes through all of that stuff so we can physically see what sin does to our heart, what sin does to the human life. And he says, look, I've taken all of that on me. Would you have faith in God? Because I can resurrect from that and come back from the dead, because I'm bigger than your sin, I'm bigger than death, I'm bigger than the grave. And if you will have faith in me, guess what? He says, I will begin to deliver the same life-giving resurrection power into your life, my friends. That would be a good place to clap your hands. Do you want God to deliver you from that messiness, from that garbage, from that blood, from that cruelty, from that brokenness? Jesus come, he died on a cross, a cruel death, so you and I can see how horrific sin is in our life. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him instead of the sin of the world will have eternal life. They will not perish. They will not waste away. My friends, have faith in God. It's a powerful, powerful message. This is where the new life, the new tree, the fruit-bearing tree begins, is with our faith in God. But he goes on to say something else. You know, he says it this way in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He says, I tell you, you can pray for anything if you believe that you've received it. It will be yours. I wrote it down this way. Our faith is the source. Our faith in God is the source of the fruit. But our prayers begin to multiply the fruit. What do I mean by that? See, again, Jesus isn't, that you, by the way, in this passage of scripture is a plural. As Pastor Richard says, it's the you-ins. Right? Is that how you say it, Pastor Richard? The Ewans. It's all of us. He's not saying, hey, bro, ask for a new car and you'll get it. It's not what he's saying. Hey, bro, ask for this and you'll get it. No. Ewans, y'all, the people of the kingdom, the ones who have faith in God, as you together, come on, corporately ask in my name, you say prayers, kingdom kind of prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, set apart is your name. Your kingdom come here in earth as it is in heaven. Come on. He says, that's a kingdom kind of prayer. Let's bring up there, down here together. And when we bring it together, come on, you'll watch me move mountains. You'll watch me break through lies. You'll watch me begin to save what you think is the unsavable. Because it's a kingdom kind of prayer. It's recognizing why God came to earth. The first time was to save people from their sin. And my friends, that should be the only business we're in as kingdom people. Expressing God to the earth through the various gifts that we have, worshiping this great God, hoping to bring other people into the kingdom by us being a reflection of God in this world. It's our reason for existing here on earth. And when God's done with his church, that would be us, usins. When God's done with usins, he'll call us home. But my friends, he wants you to have a kingdom focus. It's not, hey, you ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you. It's y'all ask for what I desire. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And watch me move in mountains in a powerful way. Because the reality of it is, there's some people here in Mark 11, they were saying a lot of prayers, but they weren't prayers of faith in an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. They were religious prayers. They were just, let's call it prayers that are put on repeat. Instead of being prayers that are authenticated by faith in God and praying, God, may your spirit move in us so it can move through us so you can move into the earth and do powerful, powerful things. Keep close here because, see, there's a group of people, and this is what made Jesus so upset as he went into the temple. Mark 11, verses 15 through 17, Jesus entered the temple, and he began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of these selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for what? For all nations. Don't miss that part. Now, not just a house of prayer for the Jewish elite. It's to be a house of prayer where people commune with me and all powerful God for all nations. But you have turned it into a den of thieves for your own personal gain. See, understand that we can produce amazing fruit as a family, as a church, as a newly planted tree in this earth because of what Jesus has done. But my friend, it starts with faith in the all-powerful God. And it's praying prayers that connect to his kingdom. God, may up there come down here. This is about growing the kingdom, producing fruit that grows your kingdom here in the earth as it is in heaven. It's growing because your kingdom is growing in my heart, in my life, through our people, through our church. It's exponentially touching and feeding people the goodness of God around the world. See, Jesus is amazing how he can talk to a fig tree and then begin to bring out all this newness he came to bring humanity. But the question is, do you just kind of gloss over these stories and really, or do you really believe that Jesus can give us this new life that produces fruit for his kingdom and grows his kingdom exponentially? Because prayers is what multiplies the fruit. It's praying together about God's business, not our own personal needs on a continual basis, but praying together about God's business in and through people's life. God is your business. And we believe that you're gonna bring healing to this individual's life by faith. because we believe this is a kingdom player, has a kingdom significance right here and right now. And God, if you heal their body, we believe it by faith so that they can bring significant glory to your name. But God, if you choose to use the sickness of this person, use it and use it well for your name's sake, for your glory. God, may up there come down here in this circumstance, in this situation. God, may you move a mountain that is in front of us because we believe by faith. Amen. It's believing by faith. And the last thing is Jesus said about this new fruit-bearing plant that he's gonna plant. I like to refer to it as the church today. He says it's going to be one that forgiveness flows out of. Look what he says there in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He says, when you're praying for these kingdom prayers, he says, first, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I wrote it down this way. Forgiveness is the evidence that the fruit is flowing out of my life. Forgiveness is recognizing I've been first forgiven by the Almighty because I needed forgiveness of my sin. And any amount of forgiveness I offer another person is nothing in the forgiveness that God has offered me. But my friends, you will not become, or the church will not become, the fruit-bearing tree that God desires it to be without having the forgiveness of Jesus in our hearts. First, we have to be forgiven, and then we have to begin to extend that forgiveness, saying, you know what, God, I believe you came to redirect people. God, I believe that, you know what, you came to step into a human's life so that they can repent of their sin and they can turn away from their sin, make a 180 and begin to follow your spirit all the days of their life and begin to go on this journey, and together we can produce fruit. It's believing that a person that has God that steps into their heart and their life is literally going to be changed. But see, if we as a church carry around bitterness in our heart and our life, then what we begin to do is not produce the fruit out of our life, because the bitterness of life begins to take over us and we become just like the rest of the world. See, the world's bitter right now. The world outside of faith in God's bitter. Bitter about what's happening. Bitter about all the brokenness. But see, the church is one. We know that God heals. And we don't become bitter because we understand he's first forgave us of our sin. Come on. And because he's forgiven us of our sin, he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. He's gonna show back up and he's gonna put all sin, all evil in the abyss. Come on, somebody. He's gonna show back up. He's gonna put all evil in his abyss. We're trusting in the return of Christ. We haven't seen it yet, but we're putting our hope in that. And we're able to extend this forgiveness because we believe that justice belongs to God. We believe that all justice belongs to God. It doesn't mean that we don't take active participation and protecting and all that kind of stuff. Don't make this say something it isn't. But what it does mean is we believe that justice belongs to God. And so we're willing to extend forgiveness because God first forgave us. And we believe that Jesus is going to come back. He's gonna put all evil in the abyss. He's gonna get rid of it. And everything that is not of God will no longer exist. And we're gonna be his family, this new tree that he's growing and producing great fruit in. We're gonna be living with him forever and ever and ever and ever. My friend, you can walk away from this place today and you can be bitter, or you can become better by trusting and putting your faith in an almighty God. All you have to do this afternoon is turn on your television, listen to a newscaster, and they are bitter. They are bitter at what's going on in the world. It's crazy out here. And when I look around, I'm like, it's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. But we can't let bitterness overcome us. We have to let the forgiveness of God rest in our heart and continue to share his love and his goodness with the world around us. It's difficult, but we need each other. We need to remind each other that we're in this together. There's amazing things that's gonna happen. But my friend, as we move into the Easter season, we're gonna believe for a great harvest. We're gonna believe that God's gonna do amazing things in people's heart and people's life. And we're gonna have faith in God. God's gonna move mountains. We're gonna believe that, you know what? That husband that doesn't believe yet, we're gonna believe that God's gonna move in his heart. That daughter, that son, that mother, that wife, we're gonna believe that God is gonna move in their heart. That coworker, we're gonna believe that God is gonna move mountains and move in their heart. So today, let's pray a prayer of faith for our Easter services, and let's be his family and be this new kind of fruit-bearing tree. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And God, as we approach, as a family, we approach the Easter season, Resurrection weekend, next weekend. God, we pray right now, as we join in with you by faith as a community of believers, that God, you're gonna bring a great harvest into the church, into your family, beginning next weekend. God, it can begin today for people as they put faith in Jesus. But God, we're believing as we go out in this community, we begin to invite people to come into your church. You're gonna speak a word of faith into them next week. And God, many people are gonna come into the kingdom. We're gonna believe that you can move mountains, mountains of relational problems, mountains of addictions, mountain of hurt, mountains of pain, mountains of sickness. You can move mountains, God, so people can make their way to you. Jesus, as that song says, you are the way maker. We trust that by faith today, and we believe Jesus because of who you are, what you've done, and what you're gonna continue to do. We can have faith in God. May we be the kind of people that trust Christ every step of the way. We pray this prayer in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.